Okay, so we're going to try and finish up this Impact series today. That's the goal. So last week we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the bowing down to the idol. And I gave you guys some questions to think about. So some of the questions that I asked you guys: do you think anyone else in the kingdom had reservations about bowing down to this image? We talked about that a little bit. Have you been presented with an opportunity to choose Jesus or to choose going along with the norm? So I think probably all of you guys have, but I asked you guys to just kind of think about being in those kind of situations. What did you choose? What was the result of that? I asked you guys, would it have gone differently if you had other Christians around you and one of them stood up first? So we just talked about the importance of, like, surrounding yourself with the right kind of people, and you know, if you're presented with a difficult situation, like a difficult moral or ethical type situation, and somebody else, you know, stands up and says, hey, this is not right, you know, it's easier to, like, back that person up and to say, yeah, I also agree that this isn't right. But if somebody else, you know, kind of does the initial awkward part, so you're not kind of standing on your own. And then the last thing I left you guys with was, you know, to ask you to consider if there was other people that were wishing that you would stand up or that somebody else would stand up, like, could you have been the one to kind of be the first one to stand up and say, you know, I'm not going to do this or this is not right. And so, you know, just thinking about those kinds of things when we get put in situations where, you know, maybe we're not comfortable with what's happening, but everybody else is doing it. And so it's difficult to, like, you know, be the one to stand out, and, like, you don't want to be weird or awkward, or you don't want people to think differently about you, so you might go along with things that maybe you're not comfortable with just because, you know, you'd rather do that than kind of be, you know, teased or whatever. And so, but it's important that we have our principles, and it's important that we stand on, you know, our values, and that we don't just go along with what everybody else thinks just because that's what the majority thinks. Because sometimes the majority doesn't actually think that, but nobody has the courage to stand up and stand against what is happening. And so, you know, sometimes that needs to be you. That needs to be us. You know, as Christians, we have an obligation to, you know, hold ourselves to a different standard than what the world holds themselves to. And so, you know, when we have opportunities to be bold and we have opportunities to, you know, I'm not saying, like, just, you know, be weird all the time, but, you know, when we have chances to go counter to what our friends are doing or what, you know, the massive group is doing, when those things are against what God says to do, then we should, you know, be bold enough to stand up and not do that. So it's easy to kind of get stuck in, like, our routine and doing things the way that we always do them. And, you know, it's not easy to kind of go outside of what we're used to or to be different than what we're used to. But it's important that we sometimes, you know, stretch ourselves to do that. And you know, it's just a good practice to get into it, to just be willing to be different than everybody else. And so that was one of the key things that we took away from, or hopefully that you took away from last week, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, they're talking about a whole nation bowing down to this idol. And, yeah, I don't know if all three of the guys were all on the same page. I don't know if they were all, you know, instantly as soon as they were presented, I don't know if they all were just like, yeah, we're not doing that. Or, you know, maybe a couple of them were like, well, you know, I don't know, everybody else is doing it. I don't know. I'm not saying that they were or they weren't, but, you know, sometimes we need people around us that are going to encourage us to do the right thing, even when it's difficult. But sometimes we need to be that person that is willing to do the uncomfortable things. And maybe other people will you know, back us up as well. But ultimately, we just need to follow what God tells us to do. So, so we're talking about impact and having an influence and not allowing the world to have an influence on us. And those kinds of things is kind of the key of this series, what we've been looking at. And so it takes, in order to have an impact, you know, positively for the Lord on your school and on your job and with your friends, it takes people that know what they believe in and know why they believe it. So I think most of you guys, if I was to go down, like, a list of, you know, questions about, you know, being a Christian, I think a lot of you guys would maybe have the right answers, but do you know why you believe the things that you believe? And do you know how to back those beliefs up by what the Bible says? You know, if somebody was to question, well, why do you do baptisms? You know, like, could you answer that question? Or why do you just pray? Why do you pray to God all the time? Or, you know, why is it important that you read your Bible? Like, could you guys answer those questions? I'm not asking you to answer those questions now, but, you know, do you know why you believe the things that you believe? That I think we would all could say that those things are important, but do we know why those things are important? And do we know what the Bible says about those things to be able to back them up? So knowing what you believe and knowing why you believe it is important. We've talked about drawing a line in the sand and having those principles that we're not willing to violate. And, you know, it's important to know what things we're going to stand on and what things we're not going to stand on. And so, you know, sometimes people get caught up standing on, you know, things that are really ultimately not that important. And sometimes people let the important things slide because they're, you know, not paying attention to what is actually truly important and what's not. You know, just thinking about things like how we dress at church, you know, ultimately, is it important if we wear nice clothes to church? No, I mean, it's important if it's important to you, but, you know, it's important that people can feel comfortable when they come in dressed however they're dressed. So, you know, is that a hill that we're willing to die on? No. I mean, at this church, we're not going to, you know, be upset at people. Now, Pastor Brian's not going to teach in sweatpants, you know, like I am today. But, you know, there's kind of a line there that we're like, well, you know, you should try to dress nice if you can, but it's not the end of the world if you don't. But on the line of, you know, well, why don't we just use a different Bible than the King James Bible? Well, okay, that's a line that we're not going to cross. So, you know, as a church, we know, you know, the leadership of this church knows what principles we're going to stand on and which ones we're not going to stand on. And so, you know, individually, as Christians, we need to know those things as well. You know, where is the line? What things do we value enough that we're going to, you know, make it a priority versus what things is like, okay, I would rather do it this way, but ultimately it's not a sin issue doing it the other way, so, you know, I'm okay with doing that or whatever. So, you know, we need to make those decisions ourselves. And also having an impact on people around you takes people that are not afraid to go against the grain or to be countercultural. I think Brian did a message or a series, Cultural Change Agents. I don't remember when he did that exactly, but it's been fairly recently. He was talking about just, you know, being a Christian is countercultural by its nature. Like, we are supposed to go against the culture. You know, there's a God of this world, little g God of this world. And we as Christians are actively working against, the rest of the world. And so, you know, being willing to be, countercultural and doing things differently than the way that the world does things, is important. It takes that in order to have an impact, because if we just do everything everybody else is doing, then we're not going to stand out. We're not going to have an impact on people around us. Because there's nothing different between us and them. Okay, so Daniel chapter 6, if you don't have your Bible open already, go to Daniel chapter 6. So you guys need to be young men and women, especially now that you guys are in high school. Some of you guys are getting to your you know, upperclassmen ages, and you know, it's not going to be much longer until you're out of school. And so it's important that, you know, you try to pattern yourselves after people like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to be principled and to not be bothered by what other people think, and to be more concerned about glorifying God and obeying Him rather than what the rest of the world is doing. And so there's tons of examples throughout the book of Daniel. We've looked at a couple of them so far. And the last one today, we're going to look at Daniel in the lion's den and that story, but I want to look at a few maybe different things than what we normally look at with the story. So chapter 6, verse 1 says, it pleased Darius. So Nebuchadnezzar is no longer the king. Darius is now the king over the Babylonians. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes may give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And so I want you guys to think about that. Like, So what is? I mean, Daniel is. What nationality is Daniel? What country is he from? Anybody know?
Israel.
Yeah, he's an Israelite. So he's in Babylon. So remember, they took them captive. The Babylonians came in and took the Israelites captive. And so he, because of his abilities as a young man, when he was taken captive, the king, remember, he set him aside and they trained him up for 3 years basically to be, people that could like come up in their culture. And so Daniel does that, and he becomes, because of his ability or God's ability through him to tell the king his dream, Nebuchadnezzar his dream, and the interpretation of that dream, Daniel moves up and the king, Nebuchadnezzar, puts him in a position of power in his reign, which is crazy enough if you think about it anyways, that, I mean, the Babylonians and the Israelites are enemies, right? And so, like, it'd be like if we go in and invaded another country, took a bunch of people captive, and then promoted one of those people to, like, vice president of our country, right? That would be weird. And then, especially when, you know, a king, two or three kings later, also brings him in and says, hey, this, there is something different about this guy. I want to keep this guy, high up in my, ranks as well. And so it's just kind of interesting to think about Daniel being not a Babylonian. He's not, part of their society. He's become that as he's been with Nebuchadnezzar and whatnot, but he's not a Babylonian. He's an Israelite. He's an enemy of these people, but yet he keeps finding himself in a position of power and a position of prominence because of what God's doing in his life. And it says that his spirit, because of the excellent spirit that was in him. And so, you know, obviously that's God. God is giving him these opportunities, and he's putting him in these positions. But God's not putting him in these positions to just, you know, like get some personal recognition or some wealth out of it. Or, you know, he's not putting him in these positions just because he wants Daniel to have some benefits. He's putting him in these positions to be somebody that can have an impact on this nation, on the nation of Babylon. And so, so he puts him in this position of power, and he's got these three different presidents, but he puts Daniel kind of over the presidents. They all fall underneath the king, but it's just interesting to me that God keeps putting him, over multiple different kings. He puts him in positions of power, and, you guys likely won't find yourselves in a position of power like Daniel found himself. But, we do find ourselves in situations where, you know, maybe God gives us opportunities. Like God gave him an opportunity when they first showed up to Babylon. And he's like, hey, you know, you guys are going to eat of the king's meat. And Daniel's like, no. We're not going to eat of the king's meat. I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. He gives him opportunities. He gives us opportunities to see, you know, how are we going to respond to different situations. And how are we going to act when presented with opportunities to go either with God or against God? And, when we obey God, God's going to bless that and give us more responsibility. Luke 16:10, that was our theme verse for Vision Conference. It's probably been 5 or 6 years ago now. But, basically the more responsibility that you get, or how does the verse go? I'm blanking on the verse now. Yeah, he that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And so, you know, if you're faithful and you're obedient in the little things, God is going to give you more opportunities and more ways to show that. So, anyways, these guys in verse 4, then the presidents and princes, so the other presidents and the other princes, not Daniel, they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So these guys are like, obviously they don't like that Daniel is in this position of power. They don't, maybe it's because he's an Israelite. Maybe it's because he's, you know, a goody two shoes type of guy. They don't like that. Maybe they just don't like him personally. I don't know exactly why, but they're looking for reasons to, accuse him, or reasons to, take to the king to say, hey, this guy's shady in this area, or he's doing something wrong over here. And it says that they're looking for that, and they couldn't find anything because he was faithful. So there was no error or fault found in him. So he was a man of integrity that the Bible talks about in the New Testament when it comes especially to pastors and deacons. that we should be blameless. Deacons and pastors should find themselves blameless, where people cannot realistically find reasons to blame you or to accuse you of things. So you don't put yourself in positions where you can be found at fault. And so, you know, it's important that we think about those things and we don't put ourselves in situations where we're compromised in some way, or we could be construed as being compromised some way. And we never know when people are going to try to throw allegations our way. And, you know, if we don't have a leg to stand on, if we don't have a way to realistically defend ourselves in that area, in that, against that accusation, that could be really bad. And so people's lives have been destroyed by false accusations. And so, you know, we need to be careful about, you know, the places that we find ourselves. And we need to make sure that we, to the best of our ability, remain as blameless as we can. And Daniel did do that. He did find himself where they couldn't find any reason to accuse him. And so then verse 5 it says, "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." They're like, okay, this guy is, he's covered in his bases. Like, we can't find any fault with this guy. And so, but we do know he worships a different God than us. And, he's pretty serious about that. So perhaps we can get him with something along those lines. Verse 6 says, "Then, these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree." So they basically come to the king and they tell him, hey, we all got together and we were thinking, you know, because you're so great, you know, we should probably come up with some kind of a rule where if anybody, you know, wants to ask, you know, wisdom of their God, they have to ask you first. Like, make them come to you first. And, you know, just because we want to honor you, king, and we don't want any other gods to be above you. So why don't you make this decree? We all agree that you should. Why don't you make this decree, and then that way we can make sure that you get the honor and glory that you deserve. And of course, when you appeal to a king's pride and his ego in that way, he's like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I want to be put above everyone's gods. I don't want them seeking their God's counsel over mine. They should come to me. I agree with you. So he puts this law into order. And verse 10 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime." So I think it's important to that first phrase there at the beginning of that verse. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, so he wasn't just kind of going about business as usual. I mean, he was, but he knew that this law had gone into effect. He knew that it said that you got to seek the king's counsel before you seek God's counsel. And he was aware of that, but yet he still goes into his house with his windows open and prays 3 times a day, just like he was doing before. He's like, well, I'm not changing anything. I'm not going to change the way I view God and the way I spend time with him just because the law of the land says I'm not supposed to do that anymore, or I'm supposed to go to the king first. You know, that's not how God would want me to handle it, so that's not how I'm going to handle it. It says in verse 11, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." So they were watching him, basically waiting for him to trip up, because they knew that Daniel was going to be praying 3 times a day. They were aware of the situation. And so they catch him in the act. And verse 12 says, "Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man should ask a petition, that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." They're like, "King, didn't you say this?" And he's like, "Yeah, I definitely did say that." You know, they're kind of leading him down this path. And then verse 13, "Then answered they and said, Oh, hey, by the way, we found this Daniel. He was talking to his God. How do you feel about that, king?" And so they answered or then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And so when the king, you know, they're kind of setting him up for this, because they know the king obviously values Daniel and obviously sees something in Daniel and would not want to put Daniel at risk, because he put Daniel basically second in command in his whole kingdom. And so obviously he likes the guy, so they're kind of like, hey king, didn't you say this? And he's like, yep, I decreed that. That's how it should be. And they're like, okay, we're really glad you said that, because we actually have Daniel here, and he's been praying three times a day to his God, and not seeking your counsel, but he's seeking his God's counsel. And as soon as the king is presented with this, it says that he was sore displeased with himself, and he goes about trying to find a way, a loophole or some other way that he can protect Daniel, and that he can, you know, keep this from happening to Daniel. But in verse 15 says, Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. So there's nothing you can do about it, king. You can't change the law. This is the law for 30 days, remember? We can't make any changes to it. Verse 16, Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy king whom thou servest continually, I'm sorry, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And so, hold your place here and go to Proverbs chapter 16. This is one of those principles in the Bible that we should, be mindful of. We should be aware of, just because we serve God doesn't mean that he's always going to keep us from, any pain or discomfort or even death. I mean, you maybe guys have heard of missionaries who have been killed on the field. That kind of stuff does happen. And so I'm not saying that if you're obedient to God, that nothing bad will ever happen to you, or that if you're put in a dangerous situation, as long as you pray and trust God, he's going to take care of you physically. That's not always the case. But Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. Does someone want to read that for me?
When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Okay, so Darius was an enemy of God. I mean, by all accounts and measures and ways to judge this, Darius is an enemy of God. The Babylonian people were enemies of Israel. But yet, Daniel finds himself in this position where he's in charge, and the king likes him so much that when he finds out that something the king did causes Daniel to be in a bad situation, he's mad at himself. I mean, kings are not, I mean, just in general, kings are not really that concerned about the people around them. You know, they're not really concerned about making sure everybody else is happy or comfortable or whatever. It's all about the king, for the most part. Not every king is that way, but when you're the king, especially of a big nation like Babylon was, he's not concerned with what other people, he's concerned with himself. But for him to, like, take some responsibility and recognize, man, what I did kind of messed this guy's life up, and I'm going to try to find a way to fix this. And when he couldn't find a way to fix it, then he says that your God is going to deliver you. I mean, for a lost person, for a worldly king like Darius to, like, not call upon God, but to invoke God's name with Daniel, that's amazing in and of itself. Like, the fact that he recognizes Daniel's God's ability and power and says, yeah, you're going to be okay. He's going to deliver you from this situation. But when you walk with God, when your ways please God, he doesn't always promise to protect you or to deliver you from any dangerous situation, but it does say that he maketh even your enemies to be at peace with you. And, that's an important thing. And enemies doesn't have to be like, somebody that we're at war with. It can be, somebody like that you know, somebody at school that you don't get along with, or somebody at a job that you don't get along with. Like, when you walk with the Lord, people are not always going to like that. People aren't always even going to respect it. But they have a way of kind of working those things out, and where God, you know, kind of works it out and makes peace between people like that. And so, you know, we need to honor God and obey Him with our works, with the things that we do in life. And so there's a podcast, Missionary Roundtable. I don't know if any of you guys have listened to it. Cale Horvath is the host of it. And he releases episodes periodically. Basically, he interviews other missionaries. Cale's a missionary in Hungary. But he emails other missionaries and guys that you would know for the most part. And I used to listen to it a lot, and I kind of stopped listening to it for a little while because he didn't have new episodes out. And so now I'm kind of catching up on some episodes from a couple years ago. But you guys remember Thomas Harding was here at our Vision Conference 2 years ago, I think. And he's planted a church in Portland now. But this was 2 years ago, probably right before he came here for a Vision Conference. And he was just kind of talking about... He closed that door. He was just kind of talking about what God had been doing in his life and why he was headed to Portland and kind of some of his backstory of things that, but some of the stuff I wasn't even aware of, why he was doing what he was doing. But they were talking on there about, just, you know, the calling of God or the burden to, you know, be a missionary or to plant a church or whatever. And, you know, they said, I didn't get the quote exactly, but, it said, basically they were saying sometimes people mistake the fact that, okay, I'm gonna choose to obey God. I'm gonna step out in faith and I'm gonna go to this other country, or I'm gonna go to this other city, and I'm gonna plant this church. And they think because they're being obedient to God, that God's just gonna take care of everything. And sometimes He does. Sometimes He works out all the details, and sometimes, you know, things go smoothly. But when you're putting yourself, they were reminding people basically that when you put yourself in a position where you're following God, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be smooth. In fact, you know, the closer you get to the front lines of a battle, it doesn't get calmer or easier. It gets harder and it gets more intense, right? That's where people die, is on the front lines of battle. And so when you put yourself in a position where you say, I will go where there is nobody else, I will go and plant a church where people need to hear the gospel, you're putting yourselves on, you know, the front lines of a dangerous situation. And so, yeah, God can and does protect people in those situations physically, but not always. You know, sometimes people get in bad places, and things don't work out exactly as they thought they would. And so, you know, just because we're obeying God doesn't mean that things are it's going to be smooth sailing. And I just thought it was a good reminder to hear that, because I think maybe we know that, you know, there's a spiritual battle, and the more involved you get in that battle, the more dangerous it can become for your life or your comfort or whatever. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do that. And I mean, when you get put in that situation and it's crazy and, you know, the bullets are flying literally or figuratively, you know, when God does amazing things and saves somebody's life, it's like, it's more sweet maybe than if you hadn't gotten, knowing that you went, and that had an impact on that person's life, that, you know, God blesses in those ways, even if He doesn't promise our safety. And so, you know, when we're going up against an enemy that doesn't want to see us succeed, he doesn't want to see the gospel go forth, it can be dangerous. And so we just need to be mindful of that. And so in Daniel's case, coming back to his story here, you know, he knows that he's in a dangerous situation. He knows that he's, you know, second in command with a group of people that don't recognize his God. He knows that the law has been changed to be such that he's not supposed to continue worshiping his God, but he doesn't care about that. He's not worried about his physical safety. He knows if I pray to God and somebody catches me, I'm going to be thrown into the lion's den. And just like what it said with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, right before they get thrown into the fiery furnace, remember it says, and if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Daniel's in the same boat. He's like, yeah, my God can deliver me from lions. Who cares about the mouths of lions? That's like a very small thing for my God. Daniel knows that. But even if God doesn't deliver me from these lions, That's not going to change the way that I'm acting and behaving now. I'm not going to stop worshiping God just because it might be dangerous for me if I continue. And so, again, you guys are probably not going to be in situations where your life is going to be physically in danger if you continue serving God. Maybe you could be in a situation where that's the case, but probably not. Worst case scenario, people think you're weird, or they make fun of you, or, you know, maybe they yell at you, or, you know, it's pretty minor as far as the things that we probably will face persecution-wise. But he goes ahead and he gets thrown in the lion's den. You guys know the story probably. He gets delivered. The king shows up first thing in the morning and delivers them out. And then the king ends up throwing the other guys and their families in the lion's den. And they get killed after that. Turn over. You don't have to hold your place anymore. Turn over to Acts chapter 5. We'll kind of wrap it up with this verse. So it's much easier to say than to do that we're going to follow God no matter what. That's an easy thing to say. But that's a very difficult thing to do, and none of us is going to be perfect at that all the time. But it's important that that's kind of our mindset, that we have that principle as Christians, especially you guys and me, who know what the Bible says. We know the importance. We know the clock is ticking on eternity. We know that people who don't accept Christ are going to go to hell, and we know that we are, you know, the ones tasked with telling them about Jesus. And it can be very difficult to do that sometimes, but that is our job. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Somebody want to read that?
Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men."
Okay, so we don't need to concern ourselves with what... Now, in America, we don't have problems with... Okay, the law does not say that we can't worship God. It doesn't say that, Yeah, that's true. I mean, even during COVID, there was some things, though, like some states or cities or, you know, counties or whatever said, you know, you can't assemble as a church, you know, it's not safe, blah, blah, blah. And so some churches had to decide, are we going to obey that? And we're going to do virtual, or we're going to do this, or are we just going to meet anyways? You know, how are we going to try to obey the laws of man, but ultimately realize that our authority comes from something higher, and we don't need to concern ourselves with the laws of man. Now, we should obey the laws of man up to the point that they violate the laws of God. But ultimately, God's laws and his ways are higher than ours. And so Daniel recognized that. Hey, the law of the land says I can't worship God. But that's my God's laws, and his things are above man's laws. So I'm going to obey God and not the laws of man. So again, in America, we're probably not going to be in those kinds of situations, at least immediately. Now things are, you know, kind of shifting that way, maybe. We'll see. But it's unlikely that we're going to be put in a situation where our life is at risk or something like that. I've been yelled at while sharing the gospel before, but I've never been physically, assaulted or anything crazy like that. But, am I willing to do that? Are you guys willing to be put in a situation where you have to make decisions about your safety? Obviously be wise and don't put yourself in bad situations just because, hey, I'm going to be tough and I want to obey God to the point that, I'm taking my pride and I'm saying, yeah, I'm going to charge forward. I'm going to do something stupid just because, I want people to recognize how much I love God. But, you know, if serving the Lord takes us into a dangerous place, okay, then, but we need to be thinking about that ahead of time and be wise about those things. So this summer, the World Cup is coming. You guys know that probably. There's a church from Ohio, Jay Boffman's church. Maybe some of you guys know Jay. He's been here a bunch. Their youth group is bringing some high schoolers and some college students down, and we're going to do evangelism on the streets here in Kansas City. So we're going to go up to the plaza. We're going to go up to Power and Light. It's on a Thursday. I don't remember the date. It's the week before we leave for camp. So I think it's like the, 25th maybe. We're going to go out to the plaza and Power and Light for, a handful of hours. And we're going to share the gospel with people. There are going to be people from all over the world. I don't remember which games are going on then. I think, that might be the Argentina, Slovakia or Slovenia game. But there will be people from all over the world here for the World Cup. And so we're going to be going out. We're going to be trying to share the gospel with people. And so over the coming months, I'm going to try to help prepare you guys and get us ready, because I want us to take a group, all of you guys that are in this room, to go with us and go out and share the gospel. We're going to take a group of us and a group of them and some other adults and stuff from our church. We're going to go out and we're going to be walking around the streets just trying to have conversations with people. And it's unlikely that your safety is going to be at any risk. I mean, we're not going to put you in super dangerous situations, but you know, it could be awkward. It could be uncomfortable. People are going to say no, and people are going to take the stuff that you hand them, and they're going to throw it on the ground right in front of you because they don't care about it, or you know, whatever. Or they're going to, who knows? But you know, we need to think about how willing we are to follow God, even when it's uncomfortable for us. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4:17 talks about light affliction. Let me read it real fast before I misquote it. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Any affliction that you're going to face in the United States for the gospel is going to be pretty light compared to what a lot of people that we know are going through. We have people in other countries right now that I won't talk about on recording, but that their houses are being burned down, they're being kicked out of their villages, they're being, you know, their lives are being threatened, they are being beaten. I've seen pictures of guys whose faces have been beaten up by people just because they're Christians, just because they're not willing to, you know, continue going along with what their culture says they should do religiously. And so, you know, it's important for us to be thinking about those things and the light affliction that we face. And is it worth serving God if we have to, you know, be a little bit, if somebody has to throw a pamphlet on the ground in front of us, or, you know, tell us they don't want to hear what we have to say? I mean, that's super light affliction, even though, you know, that seems intimidating sometimes. That's a pretty small thing. And so, you know, I just want to kind of, maybe wrap up our series just thinking about what kind of an impact that we want to have for the gospel on those around us, and what lengths we're willing to go to have that impact. And are we willing to be uncomfortable? Are we willing to be, you know, in a situation where it's maybe dangerous a little bit, or it's, you know, maybe it's beyond just a little bit of discomfort, but it could be a little bit scary or whatever. Are we willing to do that? And if we're willing to do that for strangers, then we should be willing to do that for our friends and our family and people at school or people at work. You know, people that we know, we should definitely be willing to, you know, tell those people about Jesus. Those are the people that we care about. And those people are not going to be ones that are going to hopefully hurt us physically, if we share the gospel with them. But, you know, just be thinking about those things and about, the importance of what kind of an impact you guys can have. Because you guys have an opportunity to have an impact that's different than what I can have, or what, different than what your parents can have. You guys have influence and opportunities with people that that I might not ever meet, and so, you know, we need to take, you guys need to take advantage of those opportunities. And yeah, that's it for today.